live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 176. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Brandon Reif in the Crossroads listening audience, what's going on? Man, I know it's hot here in the Circle City, man. I'm just trying to stay hydrated, man. I've drank like 5 Fijis today.
Uh-oh. Ooh, Fiji water. You going bougie.
Yeah, man. You know, Fiji ain't cheap, so... thanks to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols and Mavericks Motors Cup Sports, man, for making things possible so that I can drink 5 Fijis in a day, man. But, like, nah, man, rather me just kind of wax political about, the temperature, the high temperatures that we have here in the Circle City, man. Give us a show rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some NFL talk this evening. The preseason is underway. Steelers-Cowboys last week was the Hall of Fame game. We've got pre-NFL preseason games starting tomorrow. Here around the league, we've got Colts training camp to talk. I was out of Colts training camp, kind of what I saw and my thoughts when I first saw everything. We've got some Colts news. College football tonight, big college football. The coaches poll is out. We're going to talk a little preseason college football, what our early thoughts are. We'll hit more college football and pro in depth in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to the season, as we are getting closer to college football week zero. They actually have a week zero. So we are 2 weeks away, I think, from college football starting, which is crazy. But looking forward to that. We've got NBA talk, as always. We just can't quit the NBA. I think the NBA should send us a paycheck. We've got Team USA we're going to talk about yesterday. There will be a spoiler alert tonight. So, I mean, sort of a spoiler alert. I mean, all Indiana Pacers fans already should know what's going on. But spoiler alert. The Untold Malice at the Palace Netflix documentary came out yesterday. I've already told John I've watched it 3 times. So already watched the Malice in the Palace thing 3 times on Netflix. We're going to kind of give our reviews of it, just kind of what we thought. There was some good insights, some stuff we haven't seen. Brought back some of the somewhat of the good old days before all the crap went down. Some NBA free agency signings have happened, as well as some extensions and stuff. We'll talk. IndyCar, John, was in Nashville this past weekend. Big weekend for them to get back in Nashville in the city streets. It was good. NASCAR are both at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So looking forward to talking a little bit about that as well. And then obviously taking our calls from our usual cast of characters when they call in. So. We'll leave it at that. Let's see here. Give me 1 second. Sorry, I'm going all over the place. Hey, John, have you ever heard of these NFTs? What's with that? It's like a digital, an NFT, like a digital trading card type thing. The things that are out now, people can win or buy or whatnot and then sell them. Premier in sports, culture, entertainment, whether it be videos in the NBA of like a dunk or so, you bid on it, you win it, and then you own the rights to the video of that dunk and nobody else can share it. It's a weird thing. The NBA had these NFTs. DraftKings started one today. I actually won one today in a drawing. And it's a Tom Brady digital trading card. Like a digital, it's a weird, it's a digital trading card, and they only make so many of them, and there's like a certain platinum edition or whatever. Apparently, John, I won this one, and the value of it right now is like $60, but the fact that some of these have already, they're saying that like the ones I have, since there's a limited quantity, that these things are going to sell for $2,000-$3,000. It's the future, apparently, of trading cards is the NFTs, which is crazy to me. But
I remember hearing a little bit about it last year when it kind of rolled out. I really ain't in. You know, I got a country, 100 Fleer and ultra Fleer and NBA hoops from back in the day. But I mean, it's a digital world, so it kind of makes sense where that would be the market would be heading to.
Yeah, so I've got a Tom Brady one I'm kind of sitting on right now. But you get, I guess it's just like a digital credit card you hold into your system.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We'll see how big of a future it is or whatever. I mean, I'm sure I could sell it. My buddy's telling me who's doing this right now that you can go in and sell it right now and get you can get at least over $100, $200 on it. So, I'm like, okay, something for me to keep an eye on, I guess, right? Let's see here. Give me one second, John. Let's go straight into the NFL. By the way, before I go to the NFL, your boy got dragged today on his Fox show with Shannon Sharp, old Skip.
I mean, he's been dragged by the best. Yeah, I checked it out, man. He's been dragged by the best, man. We got a little flustered. Skip don't like to be showing up at any time. At any time, whether it's a professional athlete or this particular person, a co-host who's kind of new to their format with Shannon and Skip. Kind of got a little flustered, man. It's interesting, man. I shared it. I know you shared it. I kind of retweeted it on their Twitter handle, 3foolishmen.com. But, just go ahead. Show ain't about Skip, man. We'll talk about that later, man. Just get to the NFL, man. We got a lot to talk about.
All right. Anyway, talking about your boy Skip. I talk about him because we talk about his team, Steelers and Cowboys. Last Thursday night, John, the preseason got underway. It's the fact that a lot of the starters were not playing on both sides. Steelers started with Mason Rudolph, went to Dwayne Haskins. Steelers won the game. The only touchdown was Keelan Ballage scored the only running touchdown. My takeaways, I thought Dwayne Haskins looked good with him being out there, rolling out in the pocket, him passing. I thought he looked better than Mason Rudolph's performance. Chase Claypool, I thought the wide receivers, him and Deontay Johnson, did well. Juju did not play, but they did well. Their catches, a little scare with Chase not getting the wind knocked out of him, and then he was obviously done after that, not going to take a chance. I was a little nervous in Najee. It did. Najee Harris got some good. He played the whole first quarter and the first couple snaps of the second quarter. I think it's going to show that the Steelers are going to do what they have to do to force the ball, and this running game is what they needed. So Najee Harris got quite a bit of pull, and I kept saying, let's watch it now. Let's not let him get hurt here, some of these big group tackles and stuff. I thought Najee looked good. Looking forward to seeing what he does this season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But overall, yeah, Steelers won the game. I mean, come on now. Was there any doubt on that? Overall, John, kind of what's your thoughts on the Hall of Fame game itself that you tuned in or checked highlights?
Just real quick, just to tap into it, you should like, if you're a Steelers fan, you should like the progression that you've seen, the maturity you've seen from Haskins since the debacle that he had from playing with Washington and all that, you know what I'm saying, being asked to leave the premises, that type of stuff, man. It should be, again, I think even the most healthy quarterback going into this season probably won't play all 17 of the games. And or 90% of the game, and it was something unprecedented where you usually see the quarterback take all the snaps, right? But in a blowout, that's what I'm trying to say. In a blowout, you'll see, you know what I'm saying, the backup come in and basically kind of manage the game for the rest of the way. I'm kind of fine with that, you know what I'm saying? The coaches and staff got to start thinking. I know it's a bad word in NFL, but, you know, that's what the NBA does. They got to start thinking about health assessment. They had game management. We won't go full Kawhi Leonard, you know what I'm saying, with quarterbacks and runners and receivers or anything like that, where they're in and out of lineups by every other game. But again, 17 game season is going to be a changer, something that they're going to have to react to and have to be prepared for, because nobody wants to lose their quarterback, star quarterback, or even somebody with Ben's caliber or Tom Brady's caliber. Nobody wants to lose those guys, but nobody wants to lose even their average quarterback or their rookie quarterback, for that matter, going into this particular season. So right. You're going to depend upon your backups. Depend upon your backups. What I kind of seen was, you like to see what you see out of Najee Harris. Micah Parsons on the other end, you know what I'm saying, from a linebacker standpoint, you like what you see out of him from a Dallas standpoint. they got to, I mean, you know, saying I don't think they could stop a nosebleed last year defensively. But that team still, Dallas Cowboys still going to be, and he didn't play, of course, Dak Prescott. The team's going to still be, they're going to heavily, you know what I'm saying, depend upon him, and his playmaking ability. I don't know. I know the pin wasn't even dry on the paper yet when I think either Daryl Johnson, former Cowboy Daryl Johnson, or it was him and Michael Irvin had said that the Cowboys should be going to the Super Bowl once that got his deal. And I think we are kind of far off from that. Yes, the NFC East or Lease, as we kind of joke around and call it here on Crossroads Sports, is not necessarily a bunch of world beaters. When you think about the Giants and you think about the Washington football team and you think about, oh my God, we could tear Philadelphia Eagles a new one. I could rip them to shreds, man. But again, like I said, it's just there's that division is there's the win. I think Dallas is, but Super Bowl we can kind of stop that talk right now.
Okay. You're poo-pooing it immediately. Okay. Let's talk real quick. Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame ceremony was this weekend.
Absolutely.
There was some big names going in this weekend. Peyton Manning, obviously one of the top tier ones. Charles Woodson, Edgerrin James, Troy Polamalu, Bill Cowher, Alan Faneca, three Steelers. My God. It was great weekend. It sucked that they had to keep the speeches 6 to 8 minutes long for each of the guys. I thought Peyton's was Peyton-esque, funny. And John, does it bother you for you to have Tom Brady in his Hall of Fame little section there, seating section? Like that he's so buddy-buddy with Brady?
Nah,
does that bother a Colts fan?
It wasn't buddy-buddy when they were on the field. And again, it was Tom Brady's offense going against the Colts defense and Peyton Manning offense going against the Bill Belichick, you know what I'm saying, that mind defense, man. So I don't think Peyton Manning, iron sharpens iron. People make you great. That's the reason why, you know what I'm saying, Peyton Manning is so great because he had Tom Brady there to push him and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? We can even talk. I don't necessarily like to talk. But me personally, Brandon, not anymore. I know I used to. You know what I'm saying? I debate all the time. Debate anybody's greatness, man. You guys get up there and you win two or three Super Bowls, or you appear in two or three Super Bowls, man. Damn, that's an accomplishment right there. Especially if you win them. You know what I'm saying? But them being friends off the field, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of cool, I guess. We know what I'm saying. We're past that. Those days of.
I think there's one that calls into this show that's not over it.
Ah, well,
at all.
The people should be more. The Colts fans should be more. Because it's we all love Jim Irsay. You should be mad. You should be more so mad at Jim Irsay, if anything, and how he spread the wealth. During the Peyton Manning years, and so you can look, or even Andrew Luck years, you know what I'm saying, for that matter. But no, I got no problem with it, man. All those, you leave everything on the court, on the field, rather, you know what I'm saying, all your rivalries, all those things, you know what I'm saying. Only Detroit Pistons and Chicago Bulls keep that kind of stuff going, you know what I'm saying, and that's the uniqueness of them. I like that, you know what I'm saying, that. But I got no problem with him going up every time. But hell, man, you know what I'm saying, the biggest part I took away from it, not so much was the Tom Brady, you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? He always, you know, Peyton Manning always includes teammates in any type of conversation. Obviously, also includes the state of Indiana. So from those particular, and of course his family, you know what I'm saying? Talking about his mom being able to break down a cover too. I'm like, damn, man, why don't they get her as assistant coach down there in Lucas Oil, man? They might need it. You know what I'm saying, this year. But, like, nah, but all jokes aside. But, like, nah, man, I those are the things I kind of walked, kind of got away from, pulled away from Peyton Manning's speech, man. Again, he also said she saluted the people of Denver and John Elway in his time and tenure in the Broncos uniform. But, like, nah, man, he's very, you know what I'm saying, very happy, obviously, to be there. He's very congratulatory of his going in with his teammate, Edge, and joining, you know what I'm saying, Tony Dungy, who's already a Hall of Famer. But like I thought it was, you know what I'm saying, like you said, Peyton Edison, and I walked away from it, you know what I'm saying, knowing that, you know what I'm saying, this is, you know, we're going to see more Peyton Manning coming, you know, on Monday Night Football or whatnot. And like I said, I thought it was good affair. I thought it was great for him to be, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't expect nothing less other than what we got from Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I thought it was a good speech with him. I liked Edgerrin James's speech. Talking now, I'm at the Canton Penitentiary, inmate number 374. I got a good kick of that. You know, he came into the league with gold teeth, and now he's leaving with a gold jacket. So,
yeah,
I liked Edge. You know, I did listen to some national talk radio, and it depends kind of who you listen to, but there were some people that were shocked Edgerrin James got into the Hall of Fame, which kind of baffled me. Yeah, he probably was not, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer and all that, but he had the credentials to get in.
Absolutely.
And there's some people saying that they've lightened the, that the NFL and the voters and stuff have lightened the load on people getting into it. And actually Deion Sanders even just said that in an interview I listened to today, that Charles Haley said that, come on, man, there was at least six people in that Hall of Fame that did not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame this past weekend. The guy that did the interview asked them to start naming names, and they're like, man, we ain't gonna do that right now.
They're not gonna do that anywhere on camera ever. There's no way I would say anybody that was up there on the stage this past weekend didn't deserve it. Of course, everybody's gonna have their opinion on whatever brand of toast that you want to pop.
There's only one for me. I don't know if Isaac Bruce for me.
I think he codes every, at some point he's like number two or number three in all time St. Louis Rams history for receiving.
That's not the league.
Did they not go to the Super Bowl?
They did.
Uh-oh. Don't get in trouble. So again, a lot of those things kind of carry over. I would say it's easier for a wideout or running back, running back to get in with their stats if they don't have any Super Bowl hardware, as long as they have deep playoff runs. So I would say in Edge's case, okay, at one point, I think he's 13th now in overall rushing for the NFL. So that's top 20. When he retired, I think it was like top 10. You know what I'm saying? So now for some other guys that he was playing with, they caught up or whatever, but my goodness, you know what I'm saying? Benitez hadn't got hurt. Shoot, he'd probably be in the top nine. I was not one of the people that was critical when they had the change between him and Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk went to St. Louis. Napoleon drafted Edgerrin James out of nowhere. He was incredibly fast. He's also incredibly durable. Also kind of incredibly fumble prone at some time, a critical point of the game. But he could do everything Marshall Faulk could do, but faster, right?
Right.
He doesn't necessarily have the hardware. He doesn't have the hardware Marshall Faulk has. Marshall Faulk was the MVP of the league. Marshall Faulk has a Super Bowl championship. Marshall Faulk went to another Super Bowl. But there's no way I could not put Edgerrin James in the Hall of Fame. First ballot, second ballot, I kind of get it. But, like, again, when you go to receivers, if you say Megatron doesn't deserve going to the Hall of Fame, again, you look at his stats. A lot of times – we look at the team's one-loss record. It's not him and Stafford are tied together, and the Detroit Lions are all tied together. Yes or no? The question is, the answer is yes. But if Barry Sanders was also in the Hall of Fame, and people tell me when I tell them they're crazy, but they tell me anyway that he's better than Emmitt Smith, and some people even tell you that he's even better than Sweetness, and I'm like, man, he ain't got the wins. But they're like, well, he played for Detroit. Look at the line. I'm like, well, okay, I get it. So the pendulum swings both ways. Megatron,
right?
What tight end did he play with that you can remember? Right? What defenses?
Tony Scheffler.
That's right. You pulled that one out of your ear. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying what all pro defense did they ever put together? Michael Irvin played with a bunch of receivers that either were all pro, not necessarily, I mean, or tight ends. You know what I'm saying? They were either all pro or all in the Hall of Fame themselves. So and as well as wide out. So. You don't always necessarily pick you don't always necessarily pick your friends and your family. Can't always necessarily pick your team as well that you play for. But I would say Megatron deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as well. So I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Deion Sanders, you know, I don't know who and Charles Haley, again, Charles Haley, some of these guys are natural born haters as well. They are. So you have to take that, you know what I'm saying, into account of what they're saying. But
Charles Haley's crazy. By the way, Charles Haley is crazy.
Sure.
Have you read the book about when they talk about him in the locker room?
No, I have not, but I know between the franchises he played for, you know, we got to be crazy to play football anyway, but I haven't read the book.
Well, he did some self-pleasure in the middle of the locker room several times throughout the season. Out in the open.
Nice.
It's in the book. Yeah, so Charles Haley's crazy, completely crazy. But, yeah, so they went into that and was like, yeah. Also, they went, him and Dion said a story that unless your team that you're getting Hall of Fame, who you're going in for the Hall of Fame for, picks up your tab, that everything, the total cost included for one person to do it, is could be roughly around $250,000, $250,000, for all costs, whether it be foods, tents, lodging, hotel, food spreads for your tent and everything like that, all that. They see. Mm-hmm. They said Terrell Owens did it right. Terrell Owens did it on his own at home that way, because no team was going to want to pick up, any of the teams that he was on wanted to pick up his tab for stuff. So he said, screw this, I'm just going to do it at home. So, but it's crazy.
Wow.
Like, it's here, and some of these owners are not going to pick up the tab. Now, I'm sure Irsay was very much going to pick up the tab on the Peyton Manning one for all this stuff. But kind of makes sense. And people are saying, dude, you don't get anything for this. It costs you money to go to the Hall of Fame.
To go to the Hall of Fame, right. Okay.
Yeah, with it all. So I thought that was interesting within that snippet as well. Troy Polamalu, Hall of Famer. I love the fact he was able to get there with him having COVID previously and stuff. And I love the fact that both of his boys have the same long hair that he does, and it looks awesome.
Man, I think when we did our NFL, like who we wanted the Colts to draft, I know people kind of talk about what the Colts needed, you know what I'm saying, what is the left tackle or what they needed, you know what I'm saying, a pass rush or whatever. I'm like, dude, if they can find somebody, I think I told you, if they can find, or I said it on Twitter, if they can find a safety like Troy Polamalu in this draft, you know what I'm saying, I would pick him over any pass rusher or defensive, you know what I'm saying, whatever. I just would, man. He, he's the leader. He's one of the leaders on those Pittsburgh teams defense, man. Like, and he got to the quarterback at the same time of being a safety and having to pick up a tight end, having to pick up a wide out. That's his kind of special kind of player that he is. And he did go to Trenton, if I'm wrong. He did go to USC, right? that's another feather in his cap. So
hail to the Trojans.
Hail to the Trojans, man. But like, man, definitely deserving him as well. For sure.
Yeah, and it was one of them I liked, obviously, you know, my three Steelers. By the way, Alan Faneca, my God, a lot of these guys that go in, he just looks nothing like what he looked like when he was playing. Skinny, hair, no beard. Like, I had to do a double take, and I was like, wait, that's Alan Faneca. Awesome to see Bill Cowher. Obviously, me being a Steelers fan, seeing Bill finally get in. And some people were giving shit, saying, well, what's Bill done? He's only won one Super Bowl. He's went to two, but he's only won one. And he's look at the whole body of work that the guy's done, for instance.
Right.
And then look at what he did at the Steelers. I don't believe there was very few times, maybe three losing seasons or really, really shitty records, I believe, or four or five, I think. I think there was a bad one during the Cordell Stewart era, which still haunts me to this day. But I mean, it's not just one person making the vote. There's several people that go and do these votes, and they make cases for it. And I'd love to get this, the guy that's in charge of the Hall of Fame, David Banner. I think it's David Banner, or that's a rapper. David something. I like to get that big dude, get him on the show here. I think that would be a great conversation, just talking with him. So I'm looking forward to if we can try to get that. John, Colts camp. Yesterday, I got out to go out to out here in Westfield. I live 4 minutes away from Grand Park. I went out to Colts training camp practice. I saw the usual suspects were there. Jacob Eason, Sam Ellinger were both battling for QB1 reps. Carson Wentz. I saw Wentz. I took a video of Wentz. He was walking damn fine on that ankle. He was dancing a little bit. Dancing mm-hmm. around with music, and he was hoboing around with the guys. So that damn ankle looks fine to me, which makes sense as of today, because they've said that Wentz and Nelson are both trending towards playing week one now against Seattle. So I guess me putting out the video yesterday, him walking just fine, says no boot. Being like, all right, well, it looks like Wentz might be ready to roll. But Eason looked good yesterday. I thought John, he had some deep balls. I posted a video of the deep ball that he had in there. Ellinger was okay. He had some good things, but the out routes, he totally missed on the out routes. I think he had one completion, T.Y. Hilton at that time. But so he was there. Your boy, Darius Leonard, was back on the field after signing his $100 million deal with the Colts. It's interesting that he, quote-unquote, had surgery, and then the first practice after signing his deal, he was out on the field. So he was out there. The only problem is, John, the left side of the offensive line is out. Braden Smith was in a boot. Braden Smith was in a boot. Quentin Nelson was out with foot surgery. Eric Fisher, obviously, is still out. That whole left side of that offensive line, oof, trouble. For Indianapolis right now, but maybe there's some sigh of hope that both of these guys will be back.
Yeah, I get everything that you're saying, and I'm sure King of Trolls Reggie Sox will call in and call me a liar. I said what I meant. I meant what I said. Walking around on the sideline out of your boot is great. I know we still have some time. I know they still have some time to get healed up. Maybe they do some blood spinning. Maybe they get some in the hyperbaric chamber. You know what I'm saying? Some other holistic methods of healing are out there as well. Dr. Selby's methods, you know what I'm saying? Pop some vitamins. I don't know, right? But, no, man. I still think you still need – we're not talking about – let's just back it up just like for 2 seconds. We're not talking about Peyton Manning who can turn it on or who could turn it on light. The switch, turn it off, turn it on. I'm not talking about Andrew Luck. Again, a guy who can turn. We're talking about a reclamation project that we got in Carson Wentz, right? I know the quarterback is most important. It just is. The quarterback is the most important piece for a team. The offensive line that Ballard has built here and the defensive line that Ballard has built here are, we can say top 10, if not even top five. When all cylinders are clicking, but the cylinder needs to click the most so that one is not being overused more than the other would be the quarterback, right? And if he's not out there practicing, if he's not out there, you know what I'm saying, getting timing down, how many games did it take for last year for Phillip Rivers to get his timing down with T.Y. Hilton, to get his connection going with T.Y. Hilton? And I think Mo Alie-Cox, from a statistical standpoint, took a step back with Phillip Rivers, you know what I'm saying, last year. So, again, some of these same things will be, you know what I'm saying, questions. Even if he does get out there in 2 or 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying, we only have to go through a game or two with Jacob Eason. We're talking about a guy who was maybe elite 3 years ago. Carson Wentz, the critical analysis is still on him, man. Like, I'm not saying the jury's still out, but, like, man, you know, they gave away capital to see, you know what I'm saying, and gave up on Jacoby Brissett, right, you know what I'm saying, to even thought about bringing Phillip Rivers back. All those things kind of came up in the last 2 weeks, and we got to see if this guy can still do it. So, you know, he would still need to get his time down. I know he had a couple good games of practice, right? But again, we're not talking about Peyton Manning, who can turn it off and on with a switch, or even an elite level Andrew Luck, when we're talking about Carson Wentz. So, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to twist it. If you twist my arm, I don't care. It's still going to be 8 games for me. You know, they have a lot more things, unless all of a sudden the league goes to a running league, a rush league, where you overlook all your running backs. Because again, we got Jonathan Martin, who looked like a star, you know, who started in the making last year, and we had in the backup is a 900 yard rusher, his damn self. You know, it's coming off injury though too. You know, so you have to remember. You know, what I'm saying?
Right.
So if the Colts can squeak out 500, I mean, we can't be 500 now, can it? If the Colts squeak out, you know, a 9-8 season, and somehow, you know, what I'm saying, you know, getting to the plow. I mean, it's possible. You know what I mean? It is possible. It's 9-8-17. It is. I had to count myself, man. But if they can squeak out a 9-18, that'd be great, man. But you know what I'm saying, a lot of things have to get, you know what I'm saying, done. Then all those things are kind of done in the preseason, and this is what a lot of the time we're missing out right now is with having, you know what I'm saying, especially the guard out. That's important. I mean, you know, the offensive line is the most expensive offensive line there is. and not necessarily NFL history, but right now. So, again, the timing and the blocking and all and everything that kind of goes into quarterback and running back play, all that's kind of being missed. So it's still somewhat of a question mark for me.
Yeah, looking into it, actually, John, I was wrong. Four of the five starters at offensive line were out. Also, Ryan Kelly was out. He wasn't even dressed yesterday. And they were talking with the trainers as well. So he was out. Doyle was there. Mo Alley Cox did not practice. He was in street clothes on the sidelines. But, yeah, your usual suspects, wide receivers, T.Y. Hilton, Zach Pascal, Pittman, and then Desmond Patman. Desmond Patman's the one that caught from Jacob Eason, and I had to rub my eyes. I thought I was seeing Dante Moncrief out there with the number 10 jersey, but I think Patton has a good chance to work roll out. I am a little nervous on the running back front, John. You've got four guys out there. I don't know if all four are going to make it to week one to where one might not be traded. Or let go. I think it might come down for the Colts if they want to have Jordan Wilkins, if he's going to be able to make the team and stay on the team, or they're going to stay with Marlon Mack and maybe try to trade him since they signed him to that deal. I know he got the raw end last year. But literally, John, in practice, Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor looked good, and they got the majority of first team and second team snaps. I really didn't see much with Mack out there, and he was a full participant. So I don't know how much of the offense he's going to be into, to where maybe it's a trade value where somebody needs a running back after an injury after a couple weeks, and maybe the Colts get something to help shore them up, either a draft pick or somebody for that offensive line if they need be, or defense.
Possible. A lot of deals still to be made out there. I don't know, man. I hope our friends of the program call in and tell me I'm wrong and say that somehow the Colts can get to 11 wins, but I just don't see it.
Today also the Indianapolis Colts extended head coach Frank Wright and Chris Ballard extended them through 2026. So there's none of that awkward are we in limbo? Are we coming back? Are we not coming back? They went ahead and just re-signed them, extended them both out through 2026. John, it's never too early to look at lines. Never too early. I looked at my lines already for week one. That's already out. Colts, if you're a Vegas man, John, and you were making the lines, what would you say the first week's line would be against the Seattle Seahawks?
Probably got the Seahawks winning by 10, I would say.
You think Vegas is going to put them by 10?
You saying it's more than that?
No. It's Seahawks by 3.5 is what they've got right now. Seahawks favored by 3.5.
Come on. The Seahawks probably going to be one of the more prolific offenses, man. All that trash talk, Russell Wilson's talk this over the past summer, man. And then I think they're going to sign Jamal Adams at running back. Man, I don't necessarily think the Colts are going to necessarily get run over. But if you say three, I don't know. You said Vegas ain't giving them three. I would get more points than that week one, me personally.
Yeah, give me one second here. Decott, you're on the show. What's up?
What's going on? How you guys doing tonight?
Good. Yourself?
Hey, I'm okay. Wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame, and then I want to finish up with I'm agreeing 100% with Jonathan. There's no way the team from Indianapolis is going to have 11 wins on this season. I'm willing to place a second bet. I'm willing to place a second bet on that too for the big mouth that calls in. So just FYI for you on that. So I want to hit a couple Hall of Fame deals, right? So look. I've heard a lot of talk about Hall of Fame over the last few weeks. I've heard, you know, Hall of Fame moment, you know, this guy shouldn't be in, this guy should be in. Until there's a prerequisite for the Hall of Fame, this is just going to be great, you know, talk radio conversation and sure. You know, back and forth. It's never going to be something that's solved because if you think about it like this, you heard folks say, Hall of Fame moment, that big moment, right? So I was listening mm-hmm. to the show, and I was thinking about guys with Hall of Fame moments. we realize Michael Vick went into Lambeau Field and beat Green Bay in his first try in the playoffs. Hall of Fame moment. You know, we remember that long run that Vick had against Minnesota, broke about six tackles for a touchdown. Hall of Fame moment. I know he's eligible. He was eligible this year, but I don't see him making it in anytime soon. So, but it's not because of his play, but because of the dog situation, right? So in my belief, his play on the field was Hall of Fame worthy. And Jonathan, I know you talked about, you know, Super Bowls and championships. Well, I mean, one player isn't the determination of you know, Super Bowl, deep run in playoffs. You got to have a collective team. And unfortunately, some of these guys, like the Barry Sanders you talked about earlier, Jonathan, he never had a chance, man. He was probably the worst NFL organization in the history of football.
Right, well, had, I was saying, like, right, that's what I was kind of saying. Luke, I know I talk fast. I do apologize. The Megatron didn't deserve, basically Megatron. Megatron and maybe Ed and Jane didn't deserve to be up there based upon their stats.
Yeah.
I don't think they realize what kind of stats that Ed and Jane had, nor do they realize the kind of stats on a losing team that Megatron has. You know what I mean? So
these guys are players, man.
Yeah, right. It's about other players to play around you. Absolutely.
You know, and the other thing we talked about, guys having an opportunity. Think about the quarterbacks, and I don't have the information around. I didn't study it or nothing. But think about the quarterbacks that Barry Sanders had. Think about other than Herman Moore, did he have a very good to great receiver on his team besides Herman Moore?
Right.
You talk about Vic, right? You know, he had many, many Hall of Fame moments. He had a moment in which he had a situation with legal. That's why you've got to talk about a prerequisite. If there is no prerequisite, this is going to continue. One of the things I've talked about was, were you top three at your position for 3 to 5 years in that neighborhood?
So in other words, did
you have an impact on your position where people said, man, that guy right there, he's top dog these last X amount of years or whatever the case may be? And I think that's a start, but it makes sense because Edrin James, he had a stretch of about 3 or 4 years, I think, 1,400 yards rushing, 900 yards, you know, receiving, and making a difference. Big block after big block, especially when Marvin Harrison was going deep, and the play action that the Colts ran a lot of that. So it's just, to me, he's absolutely a Hall of Famer. Megatron's absolutely a Hall of Famer. And until someone can come to me with a prerequisite that says this is the criteria of the Hall of Fame, is it the Hall of Fame or is it the Hall of Character, right? So this is all it is just sports talk conversation, man. It's never going to get resolved. And Deion can say what he wants. Yeah, in my belief, he's probably the greatest cornerback I've ever saw play, second to Mel Blount. I'm a little biased towards that. But the thing is, you've got to understand that These guys are out there busting their hump, and if they're playing from that 3 to 5 year time frame where they're that bad dude, they're that guy.
Yeah,
I think you gotta give it to him, man. And I say regardless of his ability to win a Super Bowl, like Isaac Bruce, I think that's a borderline deal. I don't think he was ever a top three guy for a three to five year period. I just don't. So him, yeah, maybe, but Edrin James was absolutely top back probably 3 to 5 years. He was probably the top guy. Here's my thought.
If Isaac Bruce gets in, there's no reason Hines Ward's not in. Just fact. And I'm not, and Hines Ward has better stats than Isaac Bruce, I believe.
Well,
I mean,
he wasn't with a dynamic offense with a nickname. I think that's probably what holds Hines Ward back. But you're right. You know, University of Georgia kid came up came up hard way. Didn't come in as a blue chip guy. He worked his ass off, man. And he absolutely, in my opinion, had a Hall. And he played like a Hall of Famer because he didn't mind getting his face dirty by making big blocks and getting dirty. So absolutely, I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay,
yeah,
Hines. Where am I thinking? Hines was 3,000 yards behind Isaac Bruce on, and Bruce was Bruce is number four. Well, receiving yards at the start of 2013 season, Bruce was at 15,000 at that point. I'm trying to bring up more information on it.
But, and as you do that, but do you think we talk about the Hall of Fame moment and all that? Did you ever think of Isaac Bruce? Here's the guy I think about when I think of Isaac Bruce. I think about the receiver for the Redskins, who finally did get into the Hall of Fame, Art Monk. Art Monk was a great, consistently long tenured player. But Monk, I don't think, was ever a top 5 to 8 receiver in the league at any point in his career. But he had longevity. So now do you give a little lift for longevity? Because if that's the case, yeah, you know, Art Monk is a guy that you would consider. But it's just so much deeper, man, and this guy shouldn't, this guy should. And that's my thought on that. You know, then I'd be remiss if I didn't hit a couple of topics real quick. First of all, my Pacers, right? I was talking to Jeremiah at the draft, right? And I'm telling you, man, listen, there's a lot of buzz, and me and Big Mouth were talking about this yesterday. But the thing is, we still got to make some type of move, because I don't think Jeremy Lamb comes back with the guys that we just picked, you know, the rookie we just picked up. Right. So then, you know, do you keep, you know, Big Brother Holiday? I say yes, you do, right? If you are going to trade Miles, you got to have someone to protect your rim, or we're going to look like the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals.
We got better defensively at the guard spot, I do believe.
Yes. Because of size or what?
I think we got better, and also the dude you should have called in last week.
Man, last week was terrible for me. I'm sorry, man.
But listen to what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, Dekai. So, like, the health also will make this team better and deeper. You know what I'm saying? So the kid from Kentucky, the kid from Kentucky they traded for, Isaiah, I think his name is Isaiah Washington, I do believe.
That's the big kid.
Right now he's nothing but a defensive player. That's what he played for Calipari. Dude, he averaged 5 blocks a game last year. Five blocks and three steals.
Do you throw a rookie in though? Then I mean he played great defensively, but do you throw him in as a potential replacement for Miles?
If Goga got it on certain games against the Sacramento Kings and the Orlando Magic, then we let this kid learn on the fly. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think he gets. I'm not saying he's gonna be an impact player. You know what I'm saying? Or anything like, you know what I'm saying, day one. But again, this guy don't play nothing but defense. That's where his mind is kind of keyed at. And you know what I'm saying? He's ready for a lob dunk. He's that kind of guy.
Well, the other night he had a good night, and I saw his stat line. I was really impressed. But to your point, Goga's allergic to paint. I think I figured it out after last year. He's allergic to paint. He stays away from paint. So you won't see him in the paint. So he's the tallest, you know, shooting guard in the league right now. And that's who he is. So I'll leave that alone. But yeah, I wish I would have called him last week, man. But I'm still looking for us to do something. To make some type of move, there's a lot of suitors for Miles Turner. I'm not saying get rid of him, but what I'm saying is you got to do what you can to make your team better. And if it means making a deal for Miles and getting a veteran in there, that also fits the chemistry. You got to have a chemistry guy. We can't do the Dan and Yerandy trade again like we did years ago and thinking everything's going to be okay and we're just a mess. We can't do that again.
Yeah, this not necessarily go tip for tat. So if you trade, there was a rumor they were going to trade Miles and TJ. But if you trade those two, then you're definitely getting an all-star back, not ancillary parts, not a Kyle Kuzma,
right.
Not like how they did for Western Westbrook. You trade to get an all-star back. again, because I know we go from good Pritchard to Brad Pritchard back to Brad Pritchard. You know what I'm saying? I think he did a pretty good. I think he did a good off season moves. He even found some value in trading Doug McDermott instead of Doug McDermott basically resigning. Instead of Doug McDermott signing with the Spurs outright, you know what I'm saying? The Pacers get some future draft picks in a sign and trade type of deal. In that part, I think that's a win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was a win.
Small market team. Yeah. Small market team. I don't believe that's a media thing. Just say star players don't want to come here. So you kind of have to grow them from the ground up. I'm happy with the, I don't want to jack up his name, the Durante kid.
We just call him D.
Yeah, as an immigrant kind of kid, you let him acclimate to the culture that is Indianapolis, if there is a such thing, right? You let him acclimate to the culture of Indianapolis, and hopefully falls in love with the city, and the city falls in love with him, and he kind of grows into a star. I think the Pacers are pretty good, but you're right. They'll probably cut Lamb. Lamb will probably end up on somebody's Brooklyn Nets or LA Lakers or Clippers team when they're looking for the buyout type of player.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll sit back and watch for sure.
I think I think I'm happy with this team, Decott. My opinion. I don't think you need to make changes just to make changes. I think the fact that now if we were coming back with Bjorkren, I think at that point then you've got to change something. And at that point, this is when you can trade Miles. I think the fact that we did change something, and it's the head coach, the philosophy, your offense and your defense with that, I think that was a big enough change to where we're like, hey, I'm content with us running what we have now with our team that we have. Besides Lamb, we can get rid of Lamb for a second round pick or whatever. But with this roster we have, I'm happy with it, and I'm ready to run it this season and see what we can do.
Well, to Jonathan's point, though, we've got to make sure we stay healthy. And I know we can't make sure of that, but they've got to be healthy. If we, you know, I like the wing. I like TJ and LeVert. I like that combination, right? These are guys – these are buckets. These are bucket getters. Anywhere on the court, they can get a bucket. Now, does that impact Miles on the positive side where he can play, you know, maybe just, you know, be more of a defensive guy? I mean, yes, I know, I understand he's block shots off the ball, but I'm talking about defense, not blocking shots off the ball. That's going to be something to see. And how does that affect Sabonis? Does Sabonis pout when he's not getting the ball and as many touches as he got last year? So anyway, listen, we can go deep on that stuff, but listen, I'm not going to hold up, you know, the show and all that, but I definitely want to have a conversation about that, man, because I had a really good conversation with Big Mouth about that the other day, and believe it or not, we agreed on about 90% of the conversation. Now, if he calls in, I guarantee you he's going to say we didn't agree on anything, but private conversation, we absolutely were on the same page when it comes to the Pacers. We're not on the same page when it comes to that team, that football team in Indianapolis that's going to go 8-9 or either 9-8.
Gotcha.
So I'll leave it at that. But you guys, love the show. I'm going to listen because I'm sitting back relaxing. But I'm going to listen to the rest of the show. And if he does call in, I'll be chiming in for sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, Decott.
All right, you guys be safe.
Sweet.
All right, Decott always calling in. Love it. John, last thing I have on football-wise, let me find the sounder. I've got it here somewhere. Last night was the first episode. One of my favorite shows to start every NFL season. You know what I'm talking about?
You talking about Hard Knock?
Hard Knock. One of my favorite shows of all time.
Oh, man.
The Dallas Cowboys edition last night. We had Dak, Mike McCarthy, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb getting hit in the nuts, Zeke not knowing how to wrap a present last night, and Jerry's World. Listen to Jerry sitting there crying, I'd do anything, I mean anything, to win a Super Bowl, to get us back in the Super Bowl. So that means Jerry Jones is willing to kill a guy. literally kill a guy to get back to the Super Bowl. He said anything. So, but Jerry Jones.
Brandon, I know you want to expand. I know you want to expand upon what you saw on Hard Knocks. I'm not necessarily a watcher of that particular program. Jerry Jones won't get out of the way. That's a particular problem. That's what's wrong with the Dallas Cowboys. You can have the best quarterback. He probably even got a pretty good wide receiver core, I would say. You know what I'm saying? And even including his, I know his offensive line is getting kind of old, but they're still pretty effective. But he can't get out of the way. He's still thinking, hey, he played football. I can't take nothing away from that. He played football collegially. But he still can't get his opinion out of the way. And I get it. It's your team. You pay for all the parts and pieces. You pay, for everything to go. But at some point, you have to let it go. Let your baby go and let somebody else, kind of run the show. Mike McCarthy, I know for some folks, the jury's kind of out with only like one Super Bowl on his resume. Right. If we ask Aaron Rodgers, if there's any love lost between Mike McCarthy, he'd probably say no. There's some other players that kind of spoke highly of Mike McCarthy, though. The wideout, I can't remember his name right now, but he felt that they were, destined. He felt that at least this year destined to win a championship. And he wasn't specific in what he was saying. He didn't say AFC. He didn't say NFC championship or divisional championship or Super Bowl. He just said championship. So,
right.
I think that division is weak enough. Sorry, NFC East. I think it's weak enough for them to win, just because there's still a bunch of question marks going on with the Giants. Definitely a bunch of question marks going on with the Eagles and our guy our coach who just got promoted to being the head coach. Hell, he hadn't even named a starter, and we all know everybody in America know that follows football knows it's going to be Jalen Hurts. So why haven't you have the sack to say it's going to be Jalen Hurts?
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I'm at Philadelphia. Call in if you got a problem with me saying that. But like the coach, man. I'm not sure. I told you a couple episodes ago, man. He's probably going to experience a Black Monday early. That's just my personal opinion. But there's Washington. Washington solidly led by a head coach, but they still don't have a quarterback that you can count on, that you can trust, that's elite level. You know what I'm saying? I would say in those regards, I would say all the other pieces in Washington are there for them to win and to potentially win that division, but they just don't have a quarterback. And like I said, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you don't really have anything.
Whoa, they got a QB? Come on now.
Who?
They got Fitzmagic. Come on now.
Fitzmagic is good. As Willie Martin used to tell me, Fitzmagic is good for 5 wins. This is a 17 game.
That's 5 more than they would get.
17 games. They are solid. They are super solid. The Washington football team, even though they ain't got a name yet, is still super solid defensively. Ron Rivera will not let that. That's always going to be his calling card. But like I said, man, the Cowboys, this is their division to win, or they can't. I don't think they can lose. You know what I'm saying? Especially with Dan Jones. It ain't even Dan Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones.
Joe Judge.
Joe Judge, man, he's gonna have a Black Monday. This,
I like
wow.
him.
Wow,
I do. I don't like him to win the NFC. I like them to be up there and finishing second in the division. Like you said, it's the Cowboys' division to lose. I think the Giants have house money they can play with. They're getting their star running back back with Saquon Barkley. They loaded up on that defense a little bit more this past offseason. They got Kenny Golladay from Detroit, so now they have a true number one wide receiver out there with them. They got Kyle Rudolph, tight end from the Vikings. They're loading up on this offense for Daniel Jones. I like this team. They didn't lose that much people. They lost Wayne Gallman, who's a backup. They lost Golden Tate, who I think is still a free agent, if I think right. But I like this. Golladay and Slayton at your wide receivers. Sterling Shepard's still there. You got Daniel Jones, Evan Engram, Kyle Rudolph, Saquon, and Devontae Booker. Booker's coming over from the Raiders as the number two running back behind Saquon. I like this roster. I do.
You'll after 3 games, you won't, Brandon. I remind you
they got JaVale Peppers. I like this team, John. I like them. They went and got the wide receiver Kadarius Toney from Florida this past year, number one in the draft pick, first round draft pick. I like it. Yeah, they only had 6 wins last year, but hey, they almost won the division. If you remember right, and that was without a Dak Prescott. But if they're gonna win it, they're gonna need at least 10 wins. I think they're at least at 8.
You are in the – is it Christmas yet? Man, because you seem like you're in a gift-giving mode.
I mean, they're one-point underdogs right now against the Broncos for week one, but I think that they're just waiting for Saquon to be officially the starter that week, and they'll be fine. But, hey, just remember that. I might like the Giants this year. I like the Giants.
I'm pinning it.
Just remember that. Let's see. What else I got NFL-wise? I mean, we'll dive in more and more. We'll probably do our preview show, and I snuck one in there of the NFC East. So we'll break down each division here in like 2 weeks, kind of what our thoughts on what we like, what we don't like there. John, do you want to go college football or do you want to go NBA? We can go NBA.
We can go NBA and then come back around because NBA free agency was still kind of crazy. So, yeah, we can talk about
NBA. Team USA wins the gold medal. Tell me if I didn't say we would probably still end up winning it. Everybody just needs to calm down. We did look like crap for a while. But Kevin Durant, most decorated Olympian now, just took over for Carmelo's spot.
Yeah, this is not, you know what I'm saying, your even your little brother's Olympic team when you talk about name recognition, man. But anybody who was thinking that they were going to lose just because a couple of exhibition games that they didn't necessarily take seriously, shame on you. Team USA, when they put their mind to it, showed that they are the, you know what I'm saying, we still had the best basketball players in the world and, you know what I'm saying, best team in the world. But here's the thing, listening audience, the rest of the world has kind of caught up to what from an NBA standard, from a basketball standard, because it's different, and actually also it's also a different brand of basketball. It's a little different, you know what I'm saying, as far as the style of play and the physicality is a little bit different. So, but the rest of the world kind of caught up with this just a little bit. But you know what I'm saying, when the NBA put their minds to it. And the ball didn't necessarily isolation to they still play some isolation basketball. I ain't gonna say that they didn't, but when the ball moved a little bit more fluidly, like basketball is supposed to be played, you know what I'm saying, we got the best results. I can't take away. I would imagine, you know what I'm saying, guys like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday just coming freshly off an NBA championship and then going into an Olympic. They have to be sitting on cloud nine, you know what I'm saying, winning a gold medal, man. Just think about the kind of honors that kind of brings, you know what I'm saying? And think about what's going to happen once they get their rings, the ring ceremony next year, you know what I'm saying? Olympic champions, you know what I'm saying? Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, you know what I'm saying? Months getting their NBA title. I mean, they were like 2 weeks out of winning their NBA title, man. So I think that was a great story kind of coming out of that. Besides, you know what I'm saying, Kevin Durant leading this team in scoring, you know what I'm saying, to a gold medal. So I tip my hat to him. You know what I'm saying? Greg Popovich, you know what I'm saying, took a lot of heat himself, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's real, you know, he was his normal cantankerous self with the press, you know what I'm saying? But when I look at that lineup of coaches, whether it was him, Steve Kerr, or Jay Wright, you know what I'm saying, names everybody knows, and now we have the Pacers assistant, Lloyd Pierce. I think, you know what I'm saying, there's a pretty good coaching staff, so they kind of prepared the guys, you know what I'm saying, for everything they could and would see. And they beat France, you know what I'm saying. France had an amazing win against Luka and Lithuania. I do believe Lithuania. I always get Lithuania and Serbia mixed up. Shame
Slovenia.
Dude, they always be the same. Granted, they always be one country. Now it's like 5 different countries that broke up into, and so it's like, yeah, but like they were the favorite. They were the Slovenia was favorite to get to the gold medal round, but France beat them. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, they had France got 3 NBA guys: Fournier, Gobert, and Batum.
Yep.
So again, no name games that names that, you know what I'm saying, don't necessarily speak all star except for Rudy Gobert, but like I said, the style of play. It's just more physical and it's more team oriented. But to get USA, you know what I'm saying, rose to the occasion and got the dub, got the gold medal. Salute to them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Salute to them. The NBA, John, is probing the sign and trade deals centered around Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry for tampering. I don't think things will come about this and then, but I think they're just doing it to save face with the NBA. But, yeah, it is what it is, I think. I think it's been happening for, what, year after year after year, all these things that happen right as the deadline starts, you know? So.
Right.
But,
right. I mean, what is tampering? So, like, does the NBA really, the governing bodies really think that midnight the agents are going to talk to the teams, or that the agents haven't been talked to other management people or the representation of the players? Like that's kind of what it is. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily the player actually talking to, like, you know what I'm saying, Lonzo Ball actually talking to the general manager of the Chicago Bulls. It's his representation. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? There's talk about compensatory picks for punishment if it is some type of tampering or whatever. If I was the other team losing Lonzo Ball, I think that, because I think the Pelicans had made a deal to try to free up cap space and whatnot to try to retain his services with the Pelicans. So if I'm another team, I still would want it investigated, so make sure that everything was on the up and up. But I don't, like you said, I don't think anything comes of it at all.
Yeah. What else I got? Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, John, he signed with your Boston Celtics. One year, $5 million. Turned down an $80 million deal with the Lakers. Holy cow. Fire that agent.
Well, it's the agent and the player, one would think, man. So there was probably some shuffling at the 11th hour. There were some numbers that his agent was probably hearing, the Lakers even also went up to reportedly to like $125 million to retain Schroeder. He played well for him. He did through the course of the season. Things kind of went sideways during the playoffs, but he had a COVID pause, you know what I'm saying, when he wasn't available. Again, that's a kick in the ass from the team lens standpoint. So, so you went from 80, you know what I'm saying, what was on the table, potentially an extension, right, in January, as it was reported, you know what I'm saying, he chose to bet on himself, and he bet on himself minus about $75 million. there's no pity party for me. He's coming off a $70 million contract that he just got when he signed with it, re-signed up really with Atlanta like 4 or 5 years ago, so. No pity party for me. He'll have to do another proven type of deal, 1 year deal with the Celtics. Playing the Boston Garden. I don't know. I know you said there's gonna be some. You think there's gonna be a little bit of regression with that team as far as them. I don't know. I don't know, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? Our guy, former IU standout, what's his name? Plays for him. He had a little highlight. I'm just saying he had a highlight. I ain't saying that's gonna carry over. But yeah,
you are saying that. Highlight.
What's my man's name? They got a lot of guards in Boston, right? A lot of wing players. I was more taken away from the kid from Vandy. Nesmith. I was more taken away from Nesmith in the summer league more, and even Pritchard, their point guard. But I don't, like, Pritchard's limited what he can do. He's kind of like McConnell kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? But like Nesmith is like a, you know what I'm saying, inside out, mid range, and shoot the three, you know what I'm saying, not going to necessarily get the touches or whatever. But I don't know, man. But back to like Schroeder going with him, it's not a bad move. You know what I'm saying? He's going to replace the, you know, he's probably going to get the starting minutes, going to split him with Marcus Smart maybe. He'll be more reliable than Kemba Walker, you know what I mean? But he's kind of like a brain fart there. You know what I'm saying? He could have signed with the Lakers and probably potentially still be on the championship run. Where with the Celtics, it's kind of like, well, let's wait and see, because now we got chemistry, man. We got to build chemistry with this new guy that we kind of got to bring in. You know what I'm saying? What can he do? You know what I'm saying? What's he going to make us do? So, I don't know. We'll see. He's just competitive, but you know what I mean? But he's $75 million light.
Okay. We're going to do a quick ad read. We come back. We'll finish up with some more NBA. Be right back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. They ship worldwide. Did you hear me say it? I said worldwide. They have custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com, or give them a call at 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628, or maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know the Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we are back. Thank you to our sponsors, Scott King Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Luke and Els, the Sacramento Kings, John, Vlade Divac is eyeing Siakam and Ben Simmons to come out to Sacramento to join the Queens? I mean, the Kings?
Be nice. Be nice. And Vlade Divac, not the general manager no more, but be nice, man. they have a – I don't know what the plan is in Sacramento. They have a lot of guards. Our guy Kyle Guy is no longer with them. He's playing with Golden State. If anybody saw Davion Mitchell playing in any summer league, he's that deal. He might even have a little glove junior in him, man. If the NBA players could hand check, he really would be. He might be a little bit. He might have a little Gary Payton in him. But like I said, man, I like what I saw out of him defensively. He stays in front of guys. Kind of turnover prone. That kind of comes with the territory. Learning a new up in the level, learning a newer nuance to the position of point guard. But again, they've got him. They've got Darren Fox. They've got Buddy Hill, who they kind of rotate between point guard and shooting guard. He's more of a shooting guard as well. They also got the other kid from Iowa State. He's always named off his escape. It's a shame on me, but he's also a tweener. So I don't know really what the plan is. Is in Sacramento. I really don't. I don't think they do. They're not necessarily happy with anybody that they have. So they're a team that will, if they make a dumb deal, they'll make it just so they can say they approved the team. You know what I'm saying? If they somehow, you know what I'm saying, can get what Philadelphia's asking for, you know what I'm saying, for Ben Simmons, I think that'd be more shame on Sacramento than it'd be, you know what I'm saying, Philadelphia would be happy to take whoever. In a trade, whether it be Darren Fox or even our guy who's, you know what I'm saying, the kid from Duke who kind of went to mediocrity out there when he was number two overall.
Bagley?
Marcus Bagley. Marvin Bagley. But, yeah, so I would assume, you know what I mean, some of those kind of players would be kind of shuttled over. So if they Sacramento – Siakam's not a bad pickup, you know what I mean? But, again, you know what I'm saying? We all know the big – you know, everybody knows the Philadelphia asked for a crazy haul, you know what I'm saying? They got turned down. They asked for a crazy haul from Golden State. And Golden State was like, nah, man, we're good. We're not sending you all that. You know what I'm saying? We'll send you this, but not – you know what I'm saying? They wanted, like, four players and a starter. And that's unreasonable for a guy like Ben Simmons who froze in clutch time from shooting. So – I don't know what's going on in Sacramento.
A couple of guys signing extensions. Luka Doncic, 5-year, $207 million max deal with the Mavs. Kevin Durant, 4-year, $198 million with the Nets. As expected, both these guys signed extensions.
Yep, as expected, man. I know somebody corrected me. A colleague corrected me. Man, he's not Gunner. You don't call. Like Luka Doncic, he's not a gunner. He don't gun you out. He's ball dominant. You know, describe his game. He's ball dominant. $200 million, man, that solidifies him staying with the Dallas Mavericks, you know what I'm saying, well into, you know what I'm saying, his late 20s, right? He's a young player, an exciting player. They've retained some of the other players, you know what I'm saying? They brought back Hardaway. they kind of got to figure out if Kristaps Porzingis wants to be with them long term, and does he want to be serious? That's what I mean. Does he want to be? He's very talented. He is, you know what I'm saying, as much as anybody thinks, you know what I'm saying, he's not. Often injured, yes, but the injuries kind of come with that. But you can kind of low manage yourself, you know, or you can commit to the physical, you know, the part of the game, physical part of the, you know, training to not be so often injury prone, right? You can be, you know what I'm saying? Watch what you eat, you know what I'm saying? Watch what you, you know what I'm saying? How you work out, those type of things. Those are the type of things that Kristaps Porzingis has not been known to do, you know what I'm saying? So that's where Dallas Mavericks kind of go if they want to take the next step. They have shown, Mark Cuban has shown the ability to retain players and go after free agents. And the next step for them is trying to get a playoff win, trying to, you know what I'm saying, not a playoff, but a playoff, yeah, playoff series win, and
right,
seeing how that fares going on second round, third round, and potential to an NBA finals. Who knows, man? It might be a deal. Sending Porzingis in a 13 deal by February. We never know, man. But I don't know, man. I'm kind of hoping for the best, you know what I'm saying, for that team.
Okay. Now we're getting to the Netflix documentary. Came out. Untold. Okay. Malice in the Palace. Pacers. Pistons. Detroit, the Malice with Artest, Steven Jackson, Jermaine O'Neal. John, the documentary was about an hour and 10 minutes long. I've watched it three times, as I said. I thought it was a good representation. I thought they went into good detail, even out going out to get some of the people to interview for this. I think it sucked. It took 17 years in the making to get all this. As I told you, I had depression. I had sadness.
Oh, wow.
I had anger still all watching it, bringing up some solid things. I think Steven Jackson was very comical several times in it, and the fact that he just doesn't give a shit and will say what he needs to say. And it kind of makes a sense with him as his ride or die attitude. You feel for Jermaine O'Neal. My thoughts are you feel for Jermaine O'Neal never getting a title. It was kind of the pressure was put onto him with that after there. Didn't really recover as he should have. My God, John, the biggest thing is we should have won a title there in 04, and we definitely should have won the title in 05. Yeah. Best team.
Anybody watching that piece of basketball, it's a piece of basketball history. You know what I'm saying? I put it right up there. Of course, it's not going to be as decorated as the Last Dance or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a career of Michael Jordan, the Bulls, but it's right up there with, I think it's much viewing. If you call yourself a basketball fan, a basketball aficionado, regardless if you like the Pacers or regardless if you like the Pistons or whatever, whoever, if you like it, if you're a basketball historian like you and I are, you should watch it. I would encourage it. With that being said, I don't know why. I know we had a lot of Twitter banter between some folks, man. I don't know why the Detroit fans, anybody from Detroit would hate on that, because I know why the fans would. The players was kind of mum on it. Ben Wallace
right.
Throws some sack. By you know what I'm saying, he was the aggressor. It showed. I mean, if I remember it clearly, and it shows it on you know what I'm saying, during the documentary, he was the aggressor. That and then Ron, of course, kind of teased it afterwards by laying on the bench, and then a fan lost.
I don't even know if I call him a fan, a spectator.
Well, John Green, spectator, right? Threw a beverage. On
scumbag, guess,
and then a melee ensued. Thing about it is, I really think Ron Artest wanted to fight Ben Wallace. I really think he did. And because he was going through some, his own words, not mine, psychological, you know what I'm saying, seeing a shrink, whatever. He was going through those things, you know what I'm saying, and you know, and the players, you know what I'm saying, surrounding him, you know, he went into a mode where. A wall was built up where he couldn't get to Ben Wallace. You know what I'm saying? Was it a hard foul? Was it unnecessary? Was it a hard foul that when he fouled Ben Wallace? Yes. Was it an unnecessary foul? Yes. But, like, you know, again.
How much blame goes to Tinsley for this?
A lot of these things, man, again, everything, a lot of things kind of happen on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Steven Jackson said it. Why would you wind him up? You know what I'm saying? Why would you want? Everybody from Reggie Miller to said that Meta World Peace, Ron Artest, is a special kind of guy, special in the head.
Yeah.
But he's also a great basketball player. So again, he's like half cocked and half crazy. That's what I mean by special. I'm sorry, you know, not necessarily be PG-13 about it. That's how he is. That's how he's wired. So again, it's not for that fan. That fan went out of pocket when he threw the drink. Those fans continued to be out of pocket when they pulled Ron out of the stands. And yes, Steven Jackson and Jermaine O'Neal went up there, but again, when you see everybody get pulled out, like, what was the reason for all these fans to be throwing popcorn and drinks and Sprites and everything else? Not to shout out Sprite.
Where's the JMV jackassery?
Yeah. So again, like, I know we'll get into like whose fault it is and whatnot, and our fingers can be pointed around. I know there's no love lost between Jermaine O'Neal and may he rest in peace, David Stern, right? David Stern thought he did the best thing
to save the league
at the time, to save the league and to save face from, you know what I'm saying? Now, in this day and age, every one of those fans would have got banned. Every one of those fans, we got better digitals and cameras now, right? Don't we? Right? You know what I'm saying? Every fan that poured, the NBA would have went frame by frame, right? And they would have banned every fan that did anything because that was egregious. Again, I don't understand. Unless you got hit, you know what I mean? Or unless you felt some way threatened. And again, if I felt some way threatened, I'm not throwing no pop. I'm not throwing no popcorn. You know what I'm saying? But like once everybody, when they went through the tunnel and I seen the beer and the soda and the popcorn.
The chair throws.
Yeah, the chair throw. And probably spit too, man. I mean, I ain't trying to, I mean, I know that's speculation, but like, man, it is what it is. That's what happens. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not cool. So again, you know, what happened on the court is what happens on the court from a win and loss standpoint. But like again, a fan, you have to understand where you know what I'm saying. If somebody else did something, that's on them. If you see the players run up into it, that's on them too. Okay, again, but then security and the police that was there, because there wasn't a whole lot of police that was there.
There was no again, police there.
And I think there were two. But there was really no
and how do you not know who Reggie Miller is of the Pacers, as Steven Jackson said?
Right.
Come
right,
on
right.
Now.
So again, man, like that. Those things. Those that again, man. So those fans were out of line with some of their reactions. Again, Jermaine O'Neal was painted as a thug, which is unfair.
That shit wouldn't fly nowadays, John. None of that would.
Right.
Term would not fly.
We live in a different culture. We live in a different culture, and right that the culture has shifted, the culture has changed. And some of the urbanness, I won't say thugness, but some of the urbanness that has been accepted. The differences of like where you grew up at. If I, you know what I'm saying, I grew up on the east side of town. You know what I mean? Some of my friends, you know, don't, you know what I'm saying, need to pull their pants up right now. They're, you know what I'm saying, pushing 50. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, some of that has been, you know what I mean, whether right or wrong, some of that has been accepted. You know what I mean? Right or wrong, some of that's been accepted. And then definitely hip-hop music and the hip-hop language and hip-hop lingo has been accepted. You're a little bit younger than me. Your era has grown up with hip-hop, where that
yes.
era, that particular era of NBA basketball was transitioning from, you know, more buttoned up suit and tie, not being political, not being in your face. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan, go up in there, I'm selling sneakers, I'm not being political. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Matt Johnson, same thing. Larry Bird, whoever, you know what I'm saying? Now we're in the league, that league was Allen Iverson led, you know what I'm saying, Rasheed Wallace led, Latrell Sprewell led. You know what I mean? So, again, a lot of individualism. A lot of guys listen to, you know what I'm saying, Public Enemy. I'm not blaming hip-hop or anything like that. I'm just saying people didn't know that, you know what I'm saying, or are willing to accept it, you know what I'm saying, as something different than what they – it wasn't necessarily they were the thugs or they were unbusinesslike. It's that nobody – who deserves – who wants to get stuff crapped, stuff thrown on them? You know what I mean? So
– Right. How? What's your thoughts on – my thoughts, you know – And seeing the hearing the player side, you know, hey, we had no conversation with David Stern, and David Stern put it, hey, who cares about the fans? Because he didn't talk about the fans and their incident. He was like, oh, no, this is all in the players, yada yada. Because he saved face for the league, to save the league, because as Jim Graven them said, listen, he rather suspend these players and keep making revenue, because what makes the NBA money? Okay, fan revenue, right. Fans right. Going to the game. He didn't want another black eye, quote unquote. Sorry for the pun.
Right.
A black eye on right. The league based off of this because of the and tearing into the fans. I like the fact that the prosecutor said Jermaine O'Neal was in his right. Ron Artest was in his right. They didn't talk about right. Any of the prosecution during the actual thing when it was going on. But yeah, Jermaine feels blackballed by it. I still feel like there's some hostility a little bit between Jermaine and Ron based on those conversations. And they're like both pissed at him. Hey, you know what? You dipped out on us. And Ron even said he feels like a coward because he dipped.
Yeah, he took some ownership. He said he said in the documentary, and when they won a championship, when the Lakers and him won a championship, he said it. On live
yeah.
TV, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think it kind of gets glazed over because, hell, Steve Smith kind of obviously, well, what about this game?
he didn't say Reggie Miller, though. That kind of upset me when they said when Reggie Miller would come to me and talk to me and give me advice, he's like, I didn't listen to him. That kind of upset me. I'm like, damn it, Ron. Like, I didn't listen to Reggie Miller.
Remember,
I'm just going to bust.
Remember, Brandon, he wore out his welcome very fast with the Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
He was drafted by the Bulls, a lottery pick. And they loved him because they thought he was going to be a Robin with a jump shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he was that. But like 2 years into their 2 years into his contract, they were like, man, what fool? Sorry, and that's what he was. What fool have we brought into our you know what I'm saying, to our culture? And that's when they made the trade. I think we traded Travis Best and Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
What's your thoughts
for Ron Artest?
Which, by the way, Jermaine O'Neal, like, I don't know what he's taking, but he still looks like he's 18 years old going back into the league for the first time. And I actually ran into him last year or 2 years ago at the JW Marriott. Was a very nice guy, so glad I got to meet J.O. I do have one comical line. I thought it was hilarious when Steven Jackson pulled out the Dave Chappelle skit line. Should have never gave us money. I was like... Oh, my God. I about spit out my drink when he said that.
It's good that he can look back at it and not kind of laugh at it. He knew they all said they knew they deserved the punishment, but they didn't think they thought the punishment. I'm talking about Ron Artest, Steven Jackson.
I didn't know that
they thought the punishment.
Jermaine and Ron got into it in the locker room when Ron goes, are we going to get
in
trouble for this?
Man, like, you know, again, a lot of the untold things. We always thought sometimes some people thought Jermaine was just immature. As some of the people, you know what I'm saying, as the things that the people painted him, man, he was all, in Ron Artest, that's not the case. He was all about winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He you know what I mean? So, again, man, like I said on Facebook today when I was watching, they lied on Jermaine O'Neal. So, you know, Jermaine, whatever you kind of thought about, what I walk away from it, that's, you know what I'm saying, get away from it is Jermaine O'Neal, it wasn't necessarily a saving face thing for anybody. The Detroit fans can say F the Pacers or whatever. They the one got the championships and made it, whatever. But, you know, they just felt that they wanted their side of the story heard. And look at it, when you look at, unfortunately, it took 17 years for it to get, you know what I'm saying, get out. But look at how those people reacted to a three players going up in the stands trying to get, you know what I'm saying, originally trying to get Ron Artest out of the stands.
Right. Right.
That's what it was, trying to get Ron Artest out of the stands. And then, you know what I'm saying, a melee ensued. So it should have, I mean, I wish it never happened, you know what I'm saying, but, you know what I'm saying, wishing one hand, crapping another, see which one fills up the fastest. But, hey, man, you know what? It was also good to see Tim Donaghy.
God. I know, right? Was that one of the games he was betting on?
No. Well, if he bet on that one, he probably lost money. No, that was a game he was officiating, and, you know what I'm saying, it shit the fan, and there he was. Tim Donaghy was there.
By the way, we just got a tweet. I guess it just got retweeted this morning. Actually, a tweet was from this morning at 3:14 a.m., Metal World Peace tweeted out, I just watched Untold. What a documentary. Much success to everyone involved, and may the Pacers win an NBA title. # retire Jermaine's jersey in Indiana. # Hall of Fame Jermaine. Ron just said that this morning. I'd
Hall
do
fame,
it.
I don't know.
I'd hang
Hall
it up.
Fame.
Why not?
Hang it up. Hang it up with the Pacers. Oh, yeah.
He's won several awards with us. Like, you know, he's deserved it.
Brandon Brantley from Purdue always reminded me when I was like, man, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Rule, power forwards in the 90s. He's like, dude, don't you know Jermaine O'Neal was like third and all-star and like MVP voting the year Tim Duncan won. I think, I can't remember, like 2007, something like that. I was like, dude, now I go back, man, Jermaine. That was a great trade. I remember Donnie Walsh.
A lot of people pissed off.
Donnie Walsh made that trade, and then people were like, "What?" I was here, man. I was here talking about. I remember talking to my mother and father, man. I was like, "What?" I mean, because you know, Dale Davis, yeoman's kind of player,
yep.
take your lunchbox, hard hat type of player, man. One time All Star, right? But like, nah, man. Donnie Walsh seen the writing on the wall. He seen that Jermaine could be a fantastic player, and he could play inside, play outside, had a little handle, you know what I'm saying, put him in the midcourt, had a little bit of handles, you know what I'm saying, beat a guy off the dribble, man, and he committed to getting better. He said, and that's part of the documentary, man, if anybody ain't seen, he talked about going to Reggie and learning how to get better and be a better player, man. So it's kind of like a, you know what I'm saying, hey, Jermaine was just as good as some of these other guys that we kind of, you know what I'm saying, salute and laud over, but because of the brawl and because, you know what I'm saying, he kind of fell out of favor after the brawl here with the Pacers, man. And hell, he played a lot of seasons between, I think played for Phoenix, I think played a couple years, played in, with Miami maybe a couple
Miami,
years.
Miami,
like,
he played 1 year with Boston.
Yeah, but never won a championship. But, like, nah, man, he was a great dynamic player for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we need to get that trending. We need to get Jermaine O'Neal jersey retired up here in the rafters because Malcolm Brogdon's doing that damn jersey injustice right now.
Oh, man.
For that. So here we go. We got one of our Pacer fans, Reggie Sykes, on the phone. What's wrong, Reggie? Sorry for the hold.
Hey, man, I've been listening to y'all, and, you know, I know Michael Jordan wasn't political, but this truck just caught on fire at this red light over the dude hopped out. The truck
Uh-oh.
Is on fire.
Uh-oh,
wow.
Only on crossroads.
I'm glad it's not a GMC, it's a Ford. Boy, I hope you got a fire extinguisher. Wow. Okay. Wow. But they've had political.
You need to help him out?
Before. Nah, man, but I could press my own star and call fire truck. I'll let some also work with y'all online. Hold on.
Oh my God!
Unbelievable, Reggie Sykes. Just the show. He just dropped off the call, so he's gonna figure out. Ah, hell, Reggie might be on the news tonight. Who knows? Saving life. Yeah. And in fact, you know, Reggie. The sad part with Reggie not getting the title there, and just how many different things had changed, whether it be money. I love the fact Steven Jackson saying, "I want to talk about this without effort," like that trended the letters of that, the first letter they put in a hashtag, and it was trending all last night and this morning worldwide with that. I, by the way, I looked in my closet, I still have my Steven Jackson jersey in there, so just gonna throw that there. Still got it, wore it out one night. Said, "You got a Lance jersey?" I said, "Boy, this ain't Lance, this is the original number one OG was Stevenson." John, it just bothers me. That team should have won the title. I told you last night on the phone when we talked, I thought this team was better than the 2000 team. I really do, because you had the best perimeter defender. You had the best defender inside the post on this team. You had shooters on this team. They could run a gun, and my God, they were beating the hell out of the Pistons in that game and several other teams. I thought this team was better than the 2000s NBA team.
I think they could have won the East for sure. Now beating the San Antonio Spurs, that's a different ball.
Would have beat the Lakers in 04. I mean, before Steven Jackson, yeah. They got a chance. So
right.
So what's your overall, John? I guess we talked, and you may have said it. You know, overall initial thought scale on a rating of your 1 to 10 on the documentary. I give it an 8.5.
Oh yeah, it's in the eighth. It's a piece of basketball, you know. Just if people go crazy over it, I mean, it's not necessarily produced by ESPN. Actually, Jermaine O'Neal gets executive producing credits on it, right? But people go crazy over the 9 points in 8 seconds. You know what I'm saying, when Reggie beat the Knicks, man, this is right up there with it. You know, this is an important part of piece of basketball history. I encourage everybody to listen to it. So I would definitely give it 8 out of 10 for sure.
Okay. Reggie Sykes, you're back.
Yeah, I went ahead and did the SOS thing for this truck. This truck is burning pretty good. They probably got to get the fire department out here. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's
okay. We have had political people that have paid the price for being political, the guys at the Olympics and other guys. The Pacers were favored to win the championship this year, that year. And I hadn't seen the documentary yet, but I used to watch all the Pacers games. Well, I still watch all the Pacers game live. And what I have to say about this, Rick Carlisle, I like Rick Carlisle, but he was trying to send a message. And I've said this on the show before. He did not take the starters out that game.
Correct.
Ben Wallace's brother or mother had passed away, so he was already in a foul mood. They don't. I don't know if they talk about it in the documentary, but before Ron fouled Ben, the play before that, Ben Wallace walloped Ron Artest. I mean, he hit him hard. So, you know, back then, you fouled me hard, I'm going to foul you hard back. Ron Artest fouled him hard back. Ron Artest had said he was going to be on his best behavior that year, and he was so far. And you got to think, too, people, mental illness is real. And I think Ron admitted that he had problems back then, and he needed help. And we just saying he's crazy. I thought he was crazy. I didn't think about mental illness. But mental illness, how you grow up, the things that you see growing up in inner city sometimes, it affects you overall sometimes. So I'm not going to blame it on him being crazy. I'm going to blame it on him needing help, and nobody got him the help that he needed.
As much as the Carlisle thing, Larry Brown should have took starters out too. I mean, you can throw it that way, too.
I thought Rick Carlisle was the head coach at that time. Am I wrong?
He was, but no, Larry Brown was the Pistons head coach, so he could have took his players out.
Yeah, he could have did that, too, because we was whooping that butt. We were whooping that butt. And I do think Jermaine O'Neal's jersey needs to be retired. I think people here, last time he came for something, he got a standing ovation of somebody else at the game. And I think people here still love Ron Artest, and Ron Artest has love for Indiana. I don't like James, but I like him. I like how he plays ball. I like the players. You know, I may talk crap about him, but I'm never going to be that kind of fan that's going to be talking about him, cussing him and all that. I may boo him or something like that, but there comes a line where you cross. And if you see me on the street, you see this 6'10 guy on the street or 6'8 guy on the street, ain't no way in hell you're going to walk up to him and throw a beer in his face. Ain't no way in hell you're going to challenge him because you know you're going to get knocked out. So why do you think you have the right to say what you want to say to these players, you know, other than booing or missing free throw or counting down the seconds on the clock or whatever? You should never be disrespectful to a player. I know people's mamas and daddies have taught them better than that. So I blame that on them. And I do agree with you. Indiana, we were looking at the players in a bad thing because they were going to strip clubs. And I think Jamal Tinsley, fur coat, got stole. So it was a big fight. And I think the Pacers were blamed for that and everything, you know. But, hey, when you're that age, when I was that age, 20, 21, 22, I was in the strip club. I wasn't fighting. I wasn't making it rain. I was throwing quarters, dimes, and nickels.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
You know.
Hey, you're like D-Cop. No tip. No tipping.
Yeah, and, well, I tip. D-Cop don't tip. D-Cop
hey,
don't
D-Cop
tip,
just
I
said
I
on
tip.
Facebook, he goes, no way O'Neal's jersey should have his jersey retired in Banker's Life. He says no to it. D-Cop, I'm against you. That sucker needs to be up there.
He doesn't know sports. This truck is going to blow up. I mean, it is really burning. The police just showed up. I called the SOS people how the police show up before the fire department. I'm glad the guy got out the truck, though. But it's just amazing how the people have, over the years, come to terms with Jermaine O'Neal and Ron Artest. Ron Artest still has mad love for Indiana. Jermaine O'Neal still has mad love for Indiana. It was an unfortunate situation. I agree with y'all. The prosecutors said they had a right to defend themselves. I don't think they should have been suspended for a year, but I do think there should have been some suspensions, and I think they should have rotated the suspensions because I think for a while we only had seven players playing. Oh, yeah, it's going to blow up. Oh, boy, the police are even backing up now.
All right, get off the phone. Take some video for us.
Okay, I'll go live.
All right, see you, Reg.
Go ahead.
All right, Reggie's gone, I guess. He's going to get some video for us, John.
Yeah, for sure.
Going to see some big blow-ups. All right, Reggie. Wow, another – hey, it's never a dull moment with Reggie Sykes calling in. And, you know, we got vehicles blowing up when he's calling. And a little bit early. All right, John, let's go college football. College football, we're going to dive into it more here. We've got less about 25 minutes left in the show. College football, the coaches poll came out. Alabama, the Crimson Tide, are the runaway number one right now in the coaches poll. Bama 1, yep. Clemson 2, Oklahoma 3, Ohio State 4, Georgia 5. Notables yep. in there, LSU 13, which is crazy because I don't think they should be rated that high right now. USC at 14, uh-oh. Indiana coming in at number 17 yep. in the lane train, coming in at number 25, Ole Miss. Ball State did receive 5 votes, so shout out to the Cards for that.
For sure, man. I don't know. When I first saw it, man, I thought some of these teams were ranked just a little bit too high. I know we already in the doghouse with South Bend. I don't know if South Bend should be ranked number 7. I don't know if Notre Dame should be ranked number 7. I'm just saying, man. They got a grad transfer, Jack Cohen, at quarterback coming in from Wisconsin. They lost a lot to the NFL. To be honest with you, I know a lot of people don't think Notre Dame has NFL players, but they do. They lost a lot to the NFL last year, and with you know what I'm saying, this being I'm not going to say a rebuilding year, you know what I'm saying, I think Kelly's better than that for any type of rebuild. He does have a quality receiver in Avery uh-huh. Davis. He does have some quality. He's always going to have quality defense and with the two corners in what's his name, Houston Griffin and the other kid, Kyle Hamilton, they're returners. But will this team be able to put up points? I don't know. Will they be able to, you know what I'm saying, keep up? Again, nobody, you can crap on their light ACC schedule all you want, but every now and then there's some teams on the ACC schedule that they can potentially beat Notre Dame. So, but I just don't know. I just don't think them having them that high at 7. Are they a top 25 team for sure? But number 7, I don't know. The other team, it kind of gives me a pause when you say why are they that high? Oh my God, Brandon, are we gonna get in trouble again, man? The Hoosiers in Bloomington. Again, I know. They can rest their laurels on the fact that they unfortunately also did have some players to go to the NFL. Some guys trying to make some squads, man. Not necessarily notoriety first rounders or second rounders for that matter. You know what I'm saying? But they have some guys. You know what I'm saying? Leave the program. So, but they do have returning starter quarterback Michael Penix Jr. And they kind of that team kind of goes as he goes, man. If anybody remember from the last two seasons, man, they are a different team. When he's the quarterback, and unfortunately he has gone through two seasons of injury, either blowing out ACL.
Hey John,
go ahead.
Just for you know, you were the only one on the air listening a minute ago because whatever it is, we lost the call again. Yeah, we lost the whole complete call for about 3 minutes, so I had to redial everything back in. So ESPN must have been against us or something. But yeah, so what team are we talking about right now as you're talking?
I was talking about Indiana. Indiana being too high. Indiana is number 17 right now, man. I'm not sure, you know what I'm saying? I get it, you know what I'm saying, that Indiana built upon from last year. They beat Penn State. They beat Michigan last year. They you know what I'm saying, they were maybe two downs from beating Ohio State. Again, I don't necessarily – people say it's a COVID year, and that's, you know what I'm saying, Big Ten was down. Well, you know what I'm saying, IU took advantage of it. That's what I say. But – can Michael Penix Jr. stay healthy? That would be my biggest concern. In the last two seasons, he hasn't been able to stay healthy the full season. So I just think they're a little bit too high to be at number 17. Quite honestly, with what they have, with what they have returning.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that a little bit. I do like USC this season. I like them to be in that. I think they'll be up there competing with that college football playoff. Cincinnati at 10, I'm okay with that. For now, but Oklahoma State coming in at 22. Ole Miss, lane train, I do like me some there. I think my best matchup is going to be Alabama and Texas A&M when they do play. A&M coming in at 6. I do, like I told you earlier when we talked a couple weeks ago on the show, I think Texas A&M beats Alabama this year. I think they beat them. It's going to be down there in College Station.
What happens when Spencer Rattler and Oklahoma, as long as they beat, they'll beat Texas. You ain't got to worry about
it. I'm glad you said that
What happens if they lose just one game but still make it to the playoff and the Big 12 finally sends somebody to the playoff? That'd be crazy.
I'm glad you said that. I'm really glad you said that because there's two things. Number one, this Oklahoma team, John, I'm looking into it. One of my best buddies is a big Oklahoma guy, and I've been studying Oklahoma this week, looking at everything, reading articles, looking at their depth chart, looking at their schedule. I like Oklahoma this year. Their defense, if you remember last year, their defense improved. They had a new defensive coordinator in there. Their defense improved. They got more recruits coming in, five-star recruits on that defensive end of the ball. Spencer Rattler. I actually have Oklahoma in the national championship game for me. I do. I like Oklahoma this year. I like them deep. I like them into the national championship game. I've got my guy like them. And I think Georgia is the national championship. Those are my.
Yeah, in Big 12 play, the only outside of maybe Baylor's, you know, sneaking one on them, or even Oklahoma State sneaking one in one on them. The only other test they have is probably Iowa State, and they have a big rush game at Iowa. You know what I'm saying? I like Oklahoma, not necessarily go undefeated, but I like them to get to the national championship games for sure.
John just got off. He'll be calling back in. Let's see. But, no, I do like Georgia. I like Oklahoma. Both of those teams this year reload. I know your Alabama's reload, but I think the fact based off of Georgia's schedule, Oklahoma's schedule, with what gets them in to the college football playoffs. JB, you are back, my guy.
Dude, why are we getting blackballed every time we talk about football?
I don't know.
Did I say too much about college football? Did I get put in the cease and desist order for the Big 12? Man,
I know people want to hear my take of Oklahoma. I like Oklahoma and Georgia this year. I love both of those teams. I think it sets up perfectly for both of them to win the national title. One of them to win it.
Ooh, man.
I like it. That's my early call.
You know, the Crossroad listed audience is Bama heavy, man. They're not going to like to hear that, dude.
Well, I'm sorry, but they need to get past Texas A&M, and then they won it last year, so they'll be all right. I just think, Bama reloads, but think about all the guys they're replacing. They replace half that, three-fourths of that damn roster. These guys are going to come in. They're going to be good. They're good recruits. They always get good recruits, but are they NFL immediate talent to where they're going to go in to win a national championship? Sometimes it takes time for this type of team to gel together. With the players in, I just don't think this team is going to be as strong as they've had previously. And that's why I like Georgia, and that's why I like Oklahoma. Oklahoma's schedule I love, so I think it's an easy thing with their defense gets better. I like the Sooners and Bulldogs.
Well, wouldn't the Big 12 just love that the team –
they would.
One of the teams that's leaving the Big 12 wins the national championship, and they get all that money. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Big 12 would love it for the 1 year or 2 years they got it. But, I mean, you got to give that Sooner love. You got to give them some love for that. I think they'll be good. Georgia, you just can't believe in them. You can't believe in Kirby Smart yet, but I think as the season moves on, I think you will.
We'll see. He got it. You play Florida again this year? That's usually his trip-up game.
Give me a second. I'll get you a talk it out. I'll give you the stats.
Georgia usually trips up against LSU or Florida. They might, and then they'll lay an egg against Alabama if they have to play them in a championship game.
We're going to start it out strong September 4th. They take on Clemson.
Oh, man, sack up.
Yeah, they ain't messing around. That's going to be played in Charlotte, so neutral field there. Then they take on UAB and South Carolina, at Vanderbilt, home against Arkansas, at Auburn. That could be a little iffy, depending on what type of Auburn team you get in with a new head coach coming in.
Right.
They take on Kentucky. Kentucky's going to be a very much improved team. I got Kentucky about seven or eight wins this year. Kentucky's going to be good, but it's a home game for Georgia, so give us between the hedges. They take on Florida in Jacksonville, obviously with the largest outdoor cocktail bowl. Home against Missouri, at Tennessee. Tennessee's trying to do something. We'll see what they can do this year. They take on Charleston Southern, and then they're at Georgia Tech. So there's no Bama. There's no
LSU
on this thing. I'm telling you, Georgia has it. This is the Georgia year. If they're going to do it, damn it, it's going to be this year. The
even
only tough
if they lose
is Clemson. Even if they
Clemson.
Lose to Clemson.
Even if they lose. Yeah,
one
there's
loss.
No shame in that. Yeah, there's no shame in that.
So I think that what gets them in this year. And all once you get in, all it takes is a game plan to beat whoever. So I like them this year. And I think a little bit, I'm starting to turn you a little bit to Georgia based on that schedule.
Man, the only reason Kirby Smart just turns it off, man, you know, he has all these great quarterbacks or wideouts or running backs, and you know, so he recruits them. Then he sits them because he doesn't believe in them once he gets down on campus, and then they go to Ohio State or they go back to Alabama or they go to some other school and become a star. So, I don't know. Kirby, he's about due for one, Brandon. Kirby and Georgia's about due for one.
Now, let me give you Oklahoma's schedule, John. Oklahoma starts out at Tulane, home against Western Carolina. Here's your favorite one. This will bring you back to the year of 1990s. Oklahoma at home against Nebraska.
Big dub.
West Virginia, they play at home at Kansas. Then they got the matchup with Texas, the playing them in Dallas. Home against TCU, at Kansas, home against Texas Tech, at Baylor, home against Iowa State, and then the last one at Oklahoma State, Stillwater, Bedlam. But I think they've got Oklahoma State's number. They've had them. Last year was a huge blowout,
yeah,
like a huge high-scoring game.
I know you love the USC and the Pac-10. I don't think any of those teams go undefeated. The only team kind of scares me, like a late loss against Iowa State, depending upon how many wins or losses they have going into that game. That would kind of give me a little bit pause when the Oklahoma plays Iowa State, because it still does matter when you lose. I know that's crazy that sound, Crossroad listeners. If you lose early in the season but then get a whole bunch of wins, or, you know what I'm saying, even important wins, whether they be blowouts or, you know, especially if they're blowouts, right, against great teams, the committee, you know what I'm saying, favors you, you know what I'm saying, going further. But if you take a bad loss, you know what I'm saying, late in the season, so, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think they got a little bit tougher road, believe it or not, but I do. I think Oklahoma, they'll be there in the final four teams for sure.
I think I'm getting you as a believer, and I like it. I'm getting you as a believer with those two picks there. So looking forward to that. College football season, can't wait. Love it. We're going to have the lines will be out. We'll be talking spreads. We're going to have Tanner Penrod on, our college football gambling guy, with me. So we'll be going through our best bets. Me and Jonathan will go again another season of the top games, picking them. Jonathan had a big, big victory last year on me. I think he ended up beating me by 6 games last year. So that won't happen this year, though. And we'll have my tradition. We're going to bring it back this year, John. We're going to bring back my pedestal on the mantle, my mantle teams, and then the toilet bowl teams. And I think Nebraska stayed in my toilet bowl teams quite a bit back in 2019, if I remember right, with Scott Frost and them. Nebraska and them were definitely there. I want one question. Give me one second here. Let's see. Somebody asked on Twitter, no love for Texas and Sarkisian? I mean,
no.
Come on now. I just
Texas
can't.
Yeah, Texas is always well coached. Do they got the ponies to win these big games? Can the boosters get out of the way and get out of the locker room? And let
they're not
coach,
even the second best team in this conference. I'm sorry, they're not. Iowa State's number two.
Yeah.
Iowa State's good.
Yeah,
for sure.
They're running up on you. Yeah, for sure.
Matt Campbell, I would love if things don't work out at Purdue. And they have to get rid of Jeff Brohm. Bring in Matt Campbell to Purdue.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead and make that little transition. I don't know if he'd take it. It might be a step down. I don't know.
it depends. The Defend alumni at Purdue get that money together. It wouldn't be a step down if you look at it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our favorite, we're always going to follow this year, the Lane Train. Hey, Lane Train said he's dropped 30 pounds. If he's going to be pushing his guys to be healthy and to be fit, that he needs to hold himself accountable too. So Lane Train, Skinny Train, and then also 100% of Ole Miss's roster is vaccinated.
Okay.
They are getting prepared for the season. They're bought in. Matt Corral, their quarterback, John, he could easily be a first-round draft pick next year in the NFL draft. He's got that loaded arm talent. He could be a Heisman candidate as well. I haven't looked at their schedule just yet. I'm sure it's a brutal one with them. I'm bringing it up right now. But I think the fact that – here we go. They take on Louisville in Atlanta on Monday night. That's Labor Day. So we get to see Lane Train on Labor Day play. Austin Peay, Tulane at Alabama. That's the one that last year it was 40-something to 40-something or 50-something to 50-something last year. Alabama's defense, I think, will be better this year, especially but their offense is where I'm concerned, John, with Alabama, because last year they had this up-tempo, very fast-paced offense with Sarkisian as their offensive coordinator. If you remember, now they're bringing in Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, who was with Texas. I think Alabama's going to get back to the 21s, the 28s, the 35 to whatever scores. It's going to be a lot more closer, is lower scoring for Alabama. Then they take on Arkansas, Tennessee, home against LSU. I think that's going to be a big win for them right there, home against LSU. At Auburn, Auburn's coming off a bye week, so that could be a little struggle there. Liberty, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, and then at obviously the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State on Thanksgiving Day. But I like Ole Miss. I think they can do something, especially Matt Corral coming back in there. They were 5-5 last year, and they end up being the Indiana Hoosiers in that bowl game. So, other than that, John, that's kind of all I've got. Like I said, we'll dive deeper into the NFL, into college football, breaking down conferences, breaking down divisions in the NFL. We've got the football season starting here in 3 weeks. So look out, it's coming. Me and John are going to hit up Ball State. The campuses are, well, hopefully going to keep opening up, but we're going to hit up Ball State. We'll get to a game, get it rolling there. So, John, I'll let you wrap us up, my man, before ESPN or somebody tries to shut us down again.
Again, right, man. No, man, I couldn't, as we are talking about football, man, I couldn't not talk about, you know what I'm saying, the passing of Bobby Bowden. I know it was reported like a couple of weeks ago that he was, you know what I'm saying, basically going to pass away anyway, 90-some years old. A lot of great players passed through Florida State as he was the head coach for damn near half, you know, the majority of my life. you know what I mean? But like, no, man, great legendary coach Bobby Bowden passed away. This weekend, nothing but great, nothing but I remember him coming on game day every now and then, and it was like the charm. I can see why how he got the players to come to commit to Florida State. One is Florida, and then this guy talks to you like he's your grandpa, just trying to get you to the next level, whether, you know what I'm saying, that's the NFL or, you know what I'm saying, on the sideline with him. You know what I mean? So again, man, you know what I'm saying, rest in peace, Bobby Bowden. I also want to say, one dear close to my heart, man. Great tag team champion, wrestling tag teams from WCW, NWA years. That's the National Wrestling Alliance, not the rap group. But like, no, beautiful Bobby Eaton passed away this past Wednesday. Sad news, man. I know everybody knows we kind of listen to talk about wrestling here. We didn't kind of cover a whole lot of wrestling today. But like, no, he's one of the greatest tag team. One of the great performers in wrestling period. You know what I'm saying, primarily in tag teams. You know what I'm saying, with the Midnight Express and the Heavenly Bodies. But like, no, man, rest in peace to him as well, man. Outside of that, man, great show. Thanks to everybody for calling in. Whether Decott and Reggie Sykes, King Control, Reggie Sykes for calling in. I seen Fred Feather from the K-Paper Connection chiming in on the Facebook feed. I know he didn't call today. I also seen Justin Pyle tweak it, you know what I'm saying, peeping in. Shout out to him. I see some other folks. My sister, you know, been peeped in. I got another good buddy, Naomi Mack. I see her peep in. You know
Doug
what
Sutton,
I love
one of our another Detroit guy, Doug Sutton, buddy of mine.
Doug Sutton, yeah. Yeah, I want to say shout out to all the fans, all the listeners, man. We couldn't do it without you. And they also couldn't do it without our sponsors, you know what I'm saying, Maverick Custom Motorsports and Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Outside of that, man, me, like I said, like Brandon said, we're going to deep dive more and more into college football, into pro football as the weeks go on. I'm sorry, Colts fans. It's going to be an 8-win season. Outside of that, man, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.